Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Get your pens out. Get that note-taking ready. Pastor Dave's going to come up and give a word, but I want to talk to all of us here about something that we do twice a year, and it's called 7 Days of Prayer. At the beginning of the year in January, we jump into 7 Days of Prayer, but we also do it again in August. August is a kind of another start into the half of the year. Kids are in school, we're back in, and we like to take 7 days of just prayer, focused prayer together. So we've got some tools we want to give you on your way out today. Our ushers are going to be at the doors with a prayer guide. Now, church, we want this to be all of us. There is power. Everybody say power in prayer. Do you really believe that? Then this is something you don't want to miss. Every single day, we have written out a devotional for you to take in your prayer time so that we can all as a church be on the same page. And those of you that are online, you can text the number. They're going to put it right up here, or they're going to put it in your chat box. You can download this PDF and have it with you. And for those of you that would rather have that on your computer or on your device, whatever it may be, but 7 days of prayer every day, let this be your devotional. And then everybody say, then at 7 o'clock at night, every night, wherever you are, log on to Instagram or Facebook of LifeLink Church, LifeLink Church's accounts, and Pastor Dave and I, or one of our staff pastors, are going to lead you into a time of prayer, so that we're all together. Now, our staff is going to be on there. All of our teams are going to be on there. So we don't want you to miss out. It won't be a long time. At 7 o'clock, we're going to get everybody in by 7:14. Everybody say 7:14. And that's based off of 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is the scripture. This is, if my people are called by my name or humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And how many of you know, do we need some healing in our land? Then it's time, church, that we come together and let's pray. So get one of these on your way out or sign up online. Join us on IG or Facebook at 7 o'clock starting tomorrow night all the way through Saturday night, and then we'll celebrate on Sunday. All right? Look at somebody as you're getting your stuff ready for the word and say, I'm going to do it. High five them and welcome Pastor Dave as he comes out to give the word.
Thank you, pal. High five, I'm gonna do it. I think that's what you said to everybody to do. So, you guys ready? All right. Well, for those of you that are here in the building, you may be wondering about the middle section and are they gonna turn the lights on. So let me just go ahead and relieve your mind of that. Right before the service started, we had a little glitch in the computer control system, and there's some lights that are just strobing like crazy, like a dance party. And so since I didn't want to compete with a dance party, can you guys just do your best to just listen with intention to receive, even though you're a little in the dim right now? Is that all right? Okay, so I just wanted to give some explanation, because if you're like me, you might be sitting through the whole message going, is anybody going to turn the lights on? And they'll be back on next Sunday, and we'll all have a great time. But I think we can do this because God is with us. Amen? All right. We're in the middle of a series right now called Swipe Up. And the idea is, when you're scrolling through your social media and you're going through stories and you're just flipping, you see something that's got some more information, you can swipe up and actually see what's going on behind that image and click on the links and get more information, or sign up or buy a product or something along those lines. And so as we're working our way through this particular summer series, the series through the year, God's been doing something, dealing in our hearts and minds and understanding, dealing with expanding our context of living in and advancing His kingdom. Everyone wants the kingdom. So what we're doing through the month of August is doing a swipe up and taking a deeper look at what that is. If you've missed the first 2 weeks of this particular series, you're actually going to miss a little bit of the context of where we're at in the journey. And so hopefully you'll be willing to actually go back and watch it online and catch up, because the way God wired me, and I'm just unique because you're unique and he made everybody different. But if you're missing something, then there's a piece of the puzzle that's a gap. And I like puzzles that have all the pieces in them. How many of you know when you look at a puzzle and it's missing a piece or two or six, you don't see the picture. All you see is the what? The missing pieces, the holes. So I want you to make sure you're taking advantage of what God's sharing with us and catching up the missing pieces, all right? So if you'll promise to do that, it lets my mind move into today with pure abandon. So I want to do that, all right? So I'm abandoned. I hope you are too. All right, let's open our hearts in prayer and ask God to give us an encounter with his presence in the middle of his scriptures. Father, thank you for being so good to us. You're an amazing, amazing Father. And today, God, we know that you are one. You and your word are the same, and your word is alive. It meets us where we are, and it brings application of transformation to us. So today, God, that's what we're looking for. We give you thanks for what you'll do through our yes in your scriptures. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So online and in the Gilbert campus, let's just jump in. We're today I've entitled this particular sermon, this sermon I've entitled it Making Sense of Life. So making sense of life. Obviously, you know, we're in the journey through a series about the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is a huge part of how God designed us to actually live our everyday life. Typically, we're in the flow of a worship journey from an hour and a half to 2 hours, just depending on what God decides to do in that journey. And so as we're working our way through the worship journeys, we're meeting God. He's doing something great. And we love what God does on the weekends when we're here together, whether we're here in person or we're here online. But we're connecting with God and all the things that go with that. But there's 166 other hours in the week. And if this 1.5 to 2 hour slot is all you give God, then big parts of your life are out of whack and out of sequence and out of rhythm with who God's created us to live as and experience. So I'm going to ask that you would really open your mind and say, God, show me what you're intending for me to hear and sense and discover today, so that the mystery of my life continues to shrink and I'm able to live in conviction and understand with purpose what I'm here to do. Got it? So this is more than a theoretical exercise. God wants us to actually know this. And everybody look at me just for a moment. I just feel compelled to say this. You're smart. You actually are smart. You're smarter than people give you credit for. Now listen carefully. You have a longer attention span than 7 seconds. Because you're smart. So don't drift. Stay in tune. You're adults. Yeah, but I'm only 17, Pastor Dave. You're an adult. But I'm 13 and I'm in here. If you're listening in here today, I'm talking to you like you're an adult. Okay, so stay with it. God is bigger than 7 seconds. Got it? All right. So in order to really get a good sense of what is really going on behind the scenes in life, I want to start at the beginning. And in our scriptures, the beginning is in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 reads this way, New King James. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Who's doing the making? And he's making us in his image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, everyone say, so. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28 says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So at the very beginning of our recorded revelation of who God is and what he did to get us to this spot, we see right off the bat, God is the one who created us. Write that down. God created me, and he created me in his image. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. If you're not taking notes, I want you to write that down. Why? Because we live in an era that rejects the idea that God created us. But God created me in his image, and in that same passage of scripture, we see that God established my purpose. God established my purpose. He created me in his image, and God established my purpose. Who did the creating and establishing? All right? If he creates us, he has the right to establish what we're created for. Got it? And the bottom line to this message, and I guess if you fade out in, you know, 97 seconds and you simply won't listen through the rest of the message, at least hear this part. God made you in his image, and he assigned a purpose for you to accomplish. And to the degree your life is aligned with that assignment, it will make sense and be fulfilled. To the degree it's misaligned from that purpose or that assignment, you will find yourself haunted by a gap that drives you to try to fill that gap with things you think you desire. And you will live your life chasing a phantom and never actually getting the fulfillment God created you to experience. Got it? So God created me in his image. He established my purpose. Now, I want you to listen because... Okay, Lord, help me stay on track. Okay, so in the garden, how many trees were in the garden? Lots and lots of trees. That's not a trick question. He created lots and lots of trees. But the two that make the most difference are the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The bottom line is, when Adam and Eve sinned by eating the fruit of the tree God told them not to, they made the choice to do that, and it severed the relationship they had with God, and all the calamity that we now see, the scars throughout history, all that began to ensue based on that choice to eat from the wrong tree. Everybody follow that? Okay. Now, for me, I'd like to rewind the tape and cut that tree down. I just like there to be one tree. I don't know if you've ever wondered, God, why two trees? Why didn't you just put one tree there and let the whole thing go great? Wouldn't it be easier if it were that way? In my mind, it would. But see, that's the deal. I'm not God. He is. And one of the things he knew is for us to enjoy the benefit of choosing relationship, we actually have to have the ability to choose to sin against him. So we have to have a choice that actually matters. So one of the elements of our lives is how we steward or handle the choices that we make. Do we choose the choices we make based on who God has created us to be and the purpose that he created us to accomplish? Or do we choose to make our choices based on what we think we want in spite of what God said he created us to be and what he created us to accomplish, as if we are our own God? Now, we're not the first created being to struggle with that. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, New King James, is actually insight to what God was dealing with when he actually dealt with Lucifer. It said, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And you might be thinking, Pastor Dave, I just want to pay the bills this week. God's going to help you pay those bills, but God wants you to live a life that's aligned with who he's created you to be and actually experience what he created you to experience. And if you're not willing to actually dig in and say, God, who am I supposed to be and what did you create me to accomplish and to experience and to do, then there's a chance you may needlessly suffer the chase of nothing your whole life and end up squandering your life never having become who God created you to actually be. What a waste. The good news is, you guys, here you are. You're like right here. And you can choose to say, okay, God, enough of the chase. What is the backdrop? Help me make sense of life. And so as we're going through this, the context of pursuing God in his kingdom, I want you to know this is the central theme of humanity's created identity and purpose. I'm just more excited about that. And I'm preaching better than you're amening. I'm just saying. Thank you. That'll take 10 minutes off the length of the sermon right there. The bottom line is, darkness is motivated by the desire to be God. And everything he works in our life to cause us to do, to sin against God, is aligned with that. You don't want to follow God. You want to do what you want to do. So God created me, and he established my purpose. Everybody follow that so far? Spiritual darkness is working against that idea by trying to deceive us to do what he did, which was become like our own God, become like God or be our own God. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, one more layer of this. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He, who is God, everyone say God, planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So here's what you're up against. You were created in the image of God as a spiritual being. And you are tied irrevocably to eternity. It is part of your experience. You cannot escape it. It's in your own soul. It's in your heart. Which is why the haunting emptiness of deception is so compelling. It's because we who are created in the image of God cannot get away from eternity that's in our heart. The only thing we could ever do is say, God, then I choose to submit to you and live who you've created me to be and to accomplish what you've created me to do as an assignment. So if we're ever going to live with life making sense, eventually we're going to have to submit to the lordship of Christ. Now, I'm going to shift gears for a second and say, based on, with that as a foundation for the message this morning, I'm going to look now at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, NIV. Jesus is talking to people who are listening to him teach in that day, and the principles and the truths that he was teaching them are living words to you and me today. So it's as if he was standing here saying these words to you and to me. Listen to what he said. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. When I was a kid growing up in the church I grew up in, that's the part of the verse that got emphasized so much. If you disobey God, you're worthless and you're good for nothing. You're going to be trampled underfoot and da-da-da. And everybody would run down to the front and weep and gnash teeth and get saved all over again. It was awesome. But that's not the part of the verse I want to emphasize. That's not the part of the verse I feel like God is saying, because you're smarter than that. You're wiser than that. You're made in his image. The part of the verse that is worthy of your attention this morning in today's emphasis is this. You are the salt of the earth. Not just me. I'm the paid professional up here. But in the context of who we are as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the followers, the disciples, those who choose to follow him as our Lord and Savior, we are the salt of the earth. And right now on Sunday morning, you're in this building. Or you're worshiping online. Here's where you're at. You're in the salt shaker. This is not the purpose. You're just in the shaker. Salt in the shaker is filled with potential, but it's doing nothing. It's only good when you actually pour it out on that prime rib, medium rare. And I'm talking about the end cut now, where all the fat is. It's awesome. But the salt is only good when you pour it out. I'm hungry right now. I had a flyer there just for a second. But the point is that the salt's only good if it's poured out touching something that is changing. Salt's designed to change the properties of what it touches. It's worthless as effect in the shaker. It It's good to be in the shaker, only that it can be poured out. Ooh, that's good. Notice that Jesus says, you are the salt. Not a few of you happen to be salt. You are. Everyone say, I am God's salt for this earth. Then he goes on to say, you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Again, you are the light. Not of the church. You're not the light of the church. You're the light of the what? What? You're the light of the world. In other words, God intends for you to be in, worked in, woven in to the world in such a way that your saltiness and your light both changes and illuminates what God wants to do, not in the church, but in the God has a plan for the it looks like you because you're his plan. This is who you are. And this is what life is supposed to be anchored in. You may be able to say that, yeah, but I'm a banker. But you can be a bright, salty banker. I'm a blogger. Make sure what you blog is bright and salty for the kingdom of God. But I'm a haircut stylist. Then every snip of the scissors, make sure you're saying in Jesus' name, I'm gonna salt you up here a little bit. Jeremy and Danielle Russell have a salon and a barber, and I can't figure out how to put all that together, but it's a great place. And every 3 or 4 weeks, I sit down and say, Jeremy, just minister to the top of my head. And he gets those scissors out. He has no idea, but I'm praying underneath the whole time. Lord, let him be effective in his role. Sheree sits down in Danielle's chair, and she gets to working on her hair. And I know that the Pastor Sheree is saying, Lord, help Danielle be effective in this calling. They're not there just to do business. They're there to be salt and light. I don't know what your business, I don't know what everybody's business is, but here's what I do know. God wired you to fit in the world around you in a unique spot, not so you can generate revenue for your household only, but so that you can be salt and light for his kingdom in the world you live in. Why? Because you're the only answer the world has, because you're the body of Christ. And if we're not intentional with representing our head, who is Christ, then we're taking his name in vain. And I want to be careful not to sound judgmental on that. Here's what I mean by that. Not from a punitive perspective, you took God's name in vain, but you took his name and missed the point. You're missing what God created you to be and to experience if you live an empty Christian life as part of Christendom, but you're not actually following him, living your purpose and plan out. It's why life doesn't make sense to so many people. But God created you for more than that. Luke 13, verse 20 and 21 in the English Standard Version says it this way. Again, Jesus said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Now, I am not a baker. I enjoy eating the fruit of those who bake well, but I bake not. Can I tell you what I do like? I do like a hot sourdough bread that's freshly baked. But the crust has got just a tiny bit of crunch to it, but not too much. And I like to, and Pastor Chris Peterson, the Samuel Bread Baking Company, makes some phenomenal. I feel like an advertisement, like an infomercial today. But I'm just telling you, I've been the benefit of some of that Samuel Bread Baking Company. And every time he puts one of those on my desk, I say, Lord, please, lead me not into temptation. Because here's what'll happen. It'll be home, and I'll slice into that, and I'll slice about 3/4 of an inch worth off. And that's that big slab of bread. And then I'll take butter, not margarine, butter. Put some butter on that and pop it in the microwave for about 18 seconds until it's actually saturated with delicious flavor. And then I walk right over to the trash can and throw it away. I'm just kidding. I don't do it. I eat every bite and throw the rest of the roll away. But there's a product in that bread that makes it so effective. It's called yeast. Yeast is actually worked into the flour that makes the dough so good. And it permeates the yeast and makes the whole loaf rise. It doesn't take much yeast, just a tiny bit of yeast. That's what Jesus is actually trying to say. I want to use you in the world like yeast. I'm going to set you in your place, and you're going to leaven all the things around you with my kingdom. You're going to make your business that you work for rise. You're going to make the classroom that you teach in rise. You're going to preach message after message after message with your life, and you may use words from time to time, but the life you live is going to leaven the environments you live in if you live with intention for the kingdom of God. It doesn't take a lot, it just has to be intentional. Is anything stirring in you this morning? Now, next Sunday, I'm actually going to talk about the different spheres of influence that we're actually supposed to be worked in. But as I was preparing this message for this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit say one more layer of preparation for the context of what I'm going to assign them. I feel like I need a piece of straw hanging out of my mouth. Our core purpose. Whose image are we made in? Did we make ourselves? Who made us? Does he have the authority to say what we're made for? Is our life benefit by doing what we're called to live by? All that established. One of our purposes, core purpose, is to bring the kingdom of God into the lives that we live 168 hours per week, not two. I'm going to dress that up and walk it down the street in really practical ways next Sunday. But let me just finish today by actually talking about what this looks like. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 in the Berean Study Bible says it this way. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect, everyone say reflect. Six of you said it. Reflect. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord. Now, there's a couple things that happen to us. I'm going to read this verse, but I want you to pay attention to the word reflect. And we, who are with unveiled faces, all reflect the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In other words, when we live our lives intentionally turning the gaze of our mind and heart to him and live for him and for his purpose, we begin to reflect his glory. Now, the focus of this particular verse says that in that connection, we are actually being transformed into his image. In other words, there is a work of transformation that happens when we gaze on him, when we live our life submitted to him under the lordship of Christ. When we live our lives that way, there is something transformational that happens to us. And folks, it's the point. Nothing else in all of life, no pleasure, no accomplishment, no fame, no fortune, nothing will do what this verse is talking, is saying how to be fulfilled in this manner. I want to ask you to write two things down that relate to our core purposes. This verse points out to the fact that we are created to experience the life-changing presence of God, to be transformed into his image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's one aspect of our purpose. God created us to experience him and be transformed into his image. To experience the life-changing presence of God and live that way. Live that way. And to reflect the life-changing presence of God to the culture around me. I know that's a long sentence, so I'm going to leave it up there for a minute. Two aspects to our core purpose deals with experiencing the life-changing presence of God. But we don't experience it just for ourselves. We experience it to reflect it to the world around us, the culture around us. To reflect the life-changing presence of God to the culture around me. How many of you have ever pulled up to a stoplight and the sun's at just the right spot that on the slant of the car in front of you, it's just like a laser in your eyes? Have y'all all had that experience? That happened to me just the other day. And as God is my witness, I started trying to dodge and duck and whatever. And as I would move around a little bit, the car would inch a little bit, and it's like it just followed me. I couldn't get away from it. And God is basically saying to us, I want you to beam my glory with such intensity that your world around you cannot get away from it. That they are drawn irresistibly and irreversibly towards it. So, in the flow of today's message, we've basically covered two points with two applications. You probably have this written down, but on the off chance you didn't write it down, let me just say again. God created me in his image. I am not God. I'm a created person in his image. My life will not make sense at all if I simply try to satisfy my own desires as if I were my own creator. Number two, God established my purpose. God established my purpose. He made me in his image. He established my purpose. Two aspects of that purpose we just talked about. To experience the life-changing presence of God. In other words, we don't change unless we're in his presence, beholding his image, beholding his glory, connected relationally. And the second part of that purpose is to reflect the life-changing presence of God to the culture around me. That's why Jesus said, you're the salt and you're the light. It's not just about you. It's about what God wants to do in you, for you, and through you. Which is one of the reasons why we see in Matthew 28:19, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said this, starting in verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Ever heard this before? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Let me massage this image that you may have, because it's kind of, at least this is what God did for me over the course of several years and as I journeyed in growing in my relationship with Him. God is 100% God. He is all powerful. But He won't make me do anything. All He's willing to do in the way He created us to experience the blessing and the benefit of our relationship is show me what to do and invite me to do it. If I recognize the benefit, the blessing, the fruit of that choice and submit to what God's showing me, I'll receive the benefit of that and experience it. Do y'all follow that? If I don't, I won't. But God's done His part to show me and invite me. God won't make us. Which is why the Crusades in the Dark Ages of history were so blatantly against how God actually works. God does not compel us with swords and force to bend our knee before Him as if that conquest is something that brings Him glory. That's not at all. So God's not sending you into your world with your big King James Family Bible to pound people over the head and force them to live what looks like a Christian life. You're not under the pressure of that. What He is saying is, you go into their world and beam My glory into their face so they can't avoid it and they're irresistibly drawn to it. Okay, this is like really good news, you guys, because I was raised under this enormous pressure that I've got to go out and make a bunch of disciples. I got to convince people to do, but kind of force them and talk them into it and all that kind of stuff. And there's communication and there's explanations. All those things are there. But the burden of that is not on me other than to go into their world and beam His glory into their face. Why? Because He's the one that does the drawing. So all of a sudden it's like I'm free. I can simply be who God's created me to be in His image, beam His glory all around my world. And then as people come towards the light and ask, what do you have? That's what we see in 1 Peter that says, be prepared to give an answer to those who ask why you have the hope that you have. Why did they come ask? Because you beamed His glory in their face. Not like, chaka. I have a 2-year-old. I don't have her myself. My wife and I are raising a 2-year-old. And there's a movie with that word in it. It's in my mind. It's in your mind too. You know what I'm talking about. Ka-chow! That's arrogance. That's not what I'm talking about either. Is simply walking around in the freedom of who God's created you to be in such a way that the glory of the Lord shines off of you in such a way that people go, you know what? I want what you have. How do I get it? And then you say, funny you should ask. Here's what it simply means to step into all that God has for you. And then you bring the kingdom of heaven into their world. Now, next week, I'm going to pick up on Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. I'm going to read it as a little preview. It says, now it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. You see that the parallel of that picture? There's something about what happens when the mountain of the house of the Lord is in its place. All the nations, the hills, the other mountains stream towards that. Got it? So we're going to pick this up and dress it up, walk it down the street next week. But let me just say this. In a very practical way, you have a part and an assignment in the house of God. You also have an assignment in the mountains of the world. You have a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. How many wings does it take for an airplane to fly? One on each side, at least. You need a mission in the church, a ministry in the church, and a mission in the world. Your life is never going to fly until you actually recognize I'm made in His image. He assigned my purpose to experience His glory, to reflect His glory. I have a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. And God can fill in the rest of the story next week. For those of you that would like to take a quick preview of that, we offer step three, which is growth track step three, which is all about your shape to help you discover what those new things are. It's actually following this service in our student center. In about 10 or 15 minutes, they'll start that class. It'll take you about 60 minutes to get through it, and you're going to be shocked at what you discover. There's some people in here, and there's some people online. You can take this online as well, but you're actually feeling inspired to take a fresh look at that again. Why? Because eternity's in your heart, and you've been ignoring it way too long. You're here today, and you're sick of running. You're sick of chasing. You're trying to figure out, how do I actually get back on track? It's as simple as saying yes to Jesus all over again. You ready to say it? Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your faithfulness. You're so good. Right now, Lord, we give you praise for how you work in the power of your word by the work of the Holy Spirit. God, thank you for causing your scripture to actually begin living in our understanding. And you do that by the work of your spirit as you touch our minds and our hearts, and you cause our understanding to be fruitful. But you leave the choice to us. So right now I pray for courage for those people who are here in this building, those people that are in the worship experience online, who need to make a qualitative, life-changing decision to live submitted to your lordship as opposed to just trying to add the little Christian sticker on the top of their life. If you're in this room and that's who you are, I'm going to ask that you say, Lord, that's me. I'm deciding today, and say this in your own heart, I'm deciding today to submit my life to you. Then I'm going to ask that you would join me and everyone in this building in this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, come on everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross, pay the legal penalty for my sin, and make it possible for me to enjoy a relationship with my Father again. I ask you to forgive me for every sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Renew me from the inside out. Holy Spirit, come into my life. I welcome you into my heart. Lead me and guide me. Give me strength I need to live for Jesus my whole life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.